Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning and welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning.
How are things?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we're sort of changing things up here, about to get into the rain season, or at least a little bit of it anyway. But yeah, we're on the cusp of change here. Do you think that the Mike Duffy trial is going to change things?
Well, it's been a fascinating week or so since we last spoke about it. Much more has come out. I was sort of considering that and rereading some of these hundreds of pages of emails. And what's become clear is really this. Mike Duffy had become to the Conservative Party what I think Jared, the Subway spokesman, had become to Subway sandwiches. The Conservative Party, at least its inner workings, they were desperate to try and cover up what had been going on. And over the last week, we've heard from some of the other players in the case, including recently Chris Woodcock, who was the issues management person for the party. The political message has been going on sort of in parallel with the trial, and that's what's been most fascinating to watch. You've got Mr. Harper going around now with this message saying this wasn't effectively a big deal and only two people knew about it. That was the essence of it, blaming the former chief of staff and Mr. Duffy for what went on. And the real problem, political problem, is that the email trail of emails and the evidence in the trial paints a completely different picture. And it's as if the party didn't learn the lesson that's played out so many times in politics, which is it's the cover-up that kills you. And the Nigel Wright and the other members of the sort of inner workings of the Conservative Party in the Prime Minister's office went on, were obviously consumed with trying to avoid the continued political damage of this senator and the other senators from continuing to drip out day after day. The messaging now in the political context is effectively, you know, there was nothing to see here. What's the problem? The money got paid back, which is utterly at odds with the volume and effort being made by the inner workings of the party trying to get this thing covered up at virtually all cost. And several things have come out of that. One comment, which I think is a telling one, is that no one in this chain of email, and we've got this email correspondence that shines a bright light on how the inner workings of the Prime Minister's office, what they were. No one in that discussion is saying, hold on a minute, this isn't appropriate. We shouldn't be covering this up, but we shouldn't be misleading people. The entire operation appears to be focused around doing whatever they can to make this story go away.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here, because it was so damaging. Some of the Mr. Woodcock, for example, and his evidence is giving evidence which is, it would appear, trying to be consistent with this message that Mr. Harper has been repeating, saying only two people knew about this, there's nothing to see here. And what belies that, when you look at the email correspondence, is the history of that is that you had at the time when this scandal was erupting, when there was coverage over on a daily basis about the improper expenditures of these conservative senators, there is an email exchange out of these hundreds of pages, which it started with an inquiry from a reporter, and then a conversation back and forth between Mr. Woodcock, the issues management person, and Nigel Wright, the chief of staff. It's one of those email exchanges we talked about a couple of weeks where weeks ago, when Nigel Wright responds to Mr. Woodcock and says, for you only, I am personally covering Duffy's $90K. Mr. Woodcock, the issues management person, responds to that 6 minutes later, and that proposing a media line, saying no, in general, the party would only cover expenses incurred for party business. But what has occurred now is you've got now the spectacle of Mr. Woodcox, the issues management person, saying, I didn't read that part of the email. It's a six-line email from his boss that he responds to 6 minutes later. And I should say the six lines includes the sent from my BlackBerry device. Picture that's now been painted is of a political operation which was absolutely desperate to cover up and stop the damage, having gone on and spent great effort trying to suppress it, and are now desperately trying to disavow that by saying things like, I didn't read the email and I didn't hear that in the meeting and I wasn't present and I didn't know. All of which is utterly inconsistent with the political messaging that is, there's nothing to see here. If there's nothing to see here and there wasn't a problem, you wouldn't have all of these senior conservative officials going through complete machinations, trying to do anything, including personally paying the money to try to make this thing go away if there was nothing to see here.
So CFAX listeners, join our conversation. Fascinating information from Michael Mulligan here on Legally Speaking. 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk at cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. When it comes down to it, be that as it may, Nanos poll comes out on the 25th, and it's showing the Conservatives leading. Is it true that in some sectors in this country, that Prime Minister Harper, it's working for him if he just keeps repeating that mantra that there's nothing to see here, that some people are believing that and not dialing down and saying, well, what about this? I mean, it seems that the poll says that they're getting away with it, if in fact there's something to get away with. That's my...
Well, that certainly appears to be the approach. The approach that Mr. Harper is taking is to continuously repeat this line about this nothing to see here and the money was paid back, which just is unfortunately not consistent with what was going on in his office at the time. So it may be that if people haven't focused clearly on what was going on, they are accepting that explanation. But if you take the time to review what in fact was going on in the Prime Minister's office, it is extremely difficult to accept the proposition that there wasn't any problem here and there was nothing improper. You simply don't have your chief of staff and your senior officials engaged in what appears to be a virtually all-consuming enterprise for months trying to cover up something that isn't a problem.
Michael, are they getting a get-out-of-jail-free card? I mean, not literally, but metaphorically, in terms of this is going to go away till after the election now, or is it?
Well, I'm not sure. This trial has now been adjourned, and it won't conclude. The trial of Mr. Duffy won't conclude until after the election. But this isn't going to be the end of the bad news for the Conservative Party. The next trial, which is scheduled to recommence, I understand, next month in September, is going to be the continuation of the trial for former Conservative Senator Brazeau, who is charged with assault and sexual assault for pushing a woman down some stairs, spitting on her and sexually assaulting her. So the continued image of Conservative senators being on trial criminally, be it for the sort of the fraud allegations or what is coming in terms of the sexual assault and other allegations, I don't think the bad news is done for them. And while I don't think people are following it necessarily in the way that I may be sort of looking at the evidence and reading the email exchange, I think ultimately it's going to leave people with the broad impression that you've got a group of people who are engaged in at least allegedly criminal conduct in an effort to cover it up.
Hi, Mike. You're on CFAX 1070. Thanks for calling. What do you think?
Well, here's what I think. I think if this is in court right now and if it turns out to be true that Duffy had inappropriate expenses and then there was other possible criminal acts took place, then so be it. But to have the NDP, for instance, claim that that they're squeaky clean is kind of ridiculous. It seems to me, just this year alone, the NDP's been asked to pay back millions in inappropriate expenses, and and they're being quite sanctimonious about what the conservatives are doing. The truth is, I think they're all doing it.
Mm.
You know? So I think if this is the only issue that the NDP and the Liberals can beat up the conservatives over, then they've got very little to say.
Mike, let's put this to the legal mind of Michael Mulligan.
Sure. I mean, the trial is going to ultimately answer the question about whether Mr. Duffy is guilty or not guilty of the various fraud charges that he's facing. But that legal answer doesn't address the issue which has become politically apparent, which is how the Prime Minister's office was operating, what they were doing to try and cover it up. And the caller may be quite right. There may be lots of blame to go around in Ottawa for how various people choose to conduct themselves. I'm sure that's so. The problem that the Conservative Party identified, and you can see it in the email exchange here and their efforts to try and stop the bleeding over the Duffy scandal, is that their concern is that this has a particular impact on what they refer to as their party's brand. They try to purport to be sort of fiscally conservative and sort of the outsiders, and it portrays this image as sort of misuse of public funds, efforts to cover it up. It's the worst sort of political news if that's your the image you're trying to project.
We have to take a quick break here on Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. The phone board is getting full. Stay there, everybody. We'll take your calls right after this.
Email talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. If it's the Callwood Crawl or a mess on the Malahat, we've got your back with more traffic more often. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Fred Jenner here from the Victoria Truck Center. I'm not here to tell you why you should own a truck. You know why. I'm here to tell you the Victoria Truck Center is the place to get your next truck. I'm talking about the Chevrolet Colorados and Silverados and the GMC Canyons and Sierras. In other words, we have the truck for you. And we're not going to get beat on price. So hit the old Island Highway and come see me, Fred Jenner, at the Victoria Truck Center today.
Have you ever heard someone say, "That's the greatest thing since sliced bread"? Island Bakery wondered, if sliced bread is one of the best inventions of all time, then what does that mean for certified organic grain bread? Available in 100% whole wheat, 12 grain or ancient 7 grain with quinoa and sunflower flax? If one of those fantastic breads was sliced, then would that be the best thing ever? Find out at Island Bakery, the island's local bakery since 1982.
Brakes squeaking, tires need rotating, or time for an oil change? Why not take your vehicle to Midas? They offer the personal attention of a neighborhood garage and the protection and guarantees of a national chain. Midas has been serving the island for over 40 years. All 7 stores are locally owned and are still setting the standard. They're a great alternative to the new car dealer.
Appointments are accepted but not necessary. Call or drop by your local Midas shop today. For over 60 years, Sawyer's Sewing Center has provided consistent expertise and service excellence in sewing, quilting, and embroidery on Vancouver Island, bringing you the best and most trusted brands like Janome, Babylock, Pfaff, Bernina, and Elma. We also carry heavy-duty industrial sewing machines for canvas and boat tops. Check out our website for the latest in fashion and quilting classes. Visit SawyerSewing.com and Sawyer's Sewing Center on Douglas across from Uptown.
Sawyer's Sewing Center.
A new roof is a big investment. One of the most important decisions you can make for the protection and value of your home. Before you do anything, look into a steel roof from Irwin Industries. It's fireproof, moss-free, with clean lines and concealed fasteners. Available in over 40 colors, your new roof will last virtually forever. Call them for the last roof you'll ever need. 875 Viewfield Road, online at steelroofvictoria.net. Call 382-5154.
911, how can I help you?
We're trapped here from the earthquake. My family needs help.
Where are you, sir?
In our house.
Your house?
Yes.
Daddy.
In Fairfield.
Sir, we'll do our best, but all responders are out on calls. I need to inform you it may be days before we can help you. Do you have food, water, or any survival supplies?
No. No, we don't.
I'm sorry, sir. We'll be there as soon as we can.
Be prepared. Have everything you need to survive when faced with a disaster. Go to totalprepare.ca or visit their showroom at 48 Crease Avenue in Victoria.
A trip down memory lane. Boomertown with Barry Bowman. Sundays at 3 on CFAX 1070. Your voice, your time. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. We're talking about the fallout from the Mike Duffy trial to the phones and Gord. Hi, Gord. Thanks for waiting. You're on CFAX.
Yes, I'm not that concerned about the Mike Duffy thing, except for the fact that perhaps we would have might be better off if we had prime ministers and government who could handle situations like that a little better. But I'm still concerned about the tendency or fashion or whatever we want to call it for people to run up and assault these newspaper reporters. I said several months ago, 4 or 5 months ago with you, I think, that perhaps we needed stronger sentences, make sure that we have some convictions to deter. Now it's blown up to a point where what's going to happen next?
Are you speaking of the yesterday's shootings?
Yeah. Before that, there should be a minimum of a grand theft of services, in fact. And I believe, Mr. Mulligan, that you had suggested it was a mischief charge. Well, yesterday's occurrence was significantly more than mischief.
Yeah, fair enough, in the United States. Your quick thought on that, Michael?
Yes, this is actually ties in with one of the other reasons this is so problematic for the current government. The current conservative government, one of its mantras has been tough on crime. That's one of its things it beats its drum about frequently. And that's another reason why this series of criminal trials is so damaging. When you're trying to portray yourself as the tough on crime mandatory minimum sentence party, to have a series of your senators on trial for fraud and sexual assault and things of the sort is simply terrible from a political point of view.
And to Gord's point about yesterday's awful shooting, obviously it was in the United States, a reporter and a cameraman being killed. We see people doing all kinds of things behind cameras and the like. Should there be tougher laws than that?
Well, we already have laws that are about as tough as they can be. If you murder somebody, you're going to jail for life. So it's about as tough as we're going to get. The U.S. has this bizarre series of laws around gun ownership, which permit people that are inclined to criminal activity or are suffering with mental illness to engage in that sort of horrific
conduct.
Get
down to Kmart and buy your gun. Hi, Ken. You're on CFAX. Thanks for waiting.
Yes. As this trial has developed, I've been sort of trying to find, or I feel I see parallels to Watergate. And if we go back to that point, we know that the break-in at the Watergate, it was known before the election of 72 that individuals affiliated with the Republican Party had been behind that. Nixon won, and then the real horrors came out after he had been installed for a second term. And what concerns me here is all of this, all of these machinations around the cover-up, more than just $90,000 of Mike Duffy's dubious expenses. And since the trial of Duffy, etc., is now basically suspended till after the election, might we expect, and how would they deal with that if it turns out that we're looking at something more than just Duffy's expenses?
Interesting, Ken. Michael?
I think the electorate is fortunate for the timing of the continuation of the trial that we've already had. The judge in the Duffy case isn't dealing with the political issues or the cover-up in the prime minister's office or the conduct of Nigel Wright. The judge in that case will ultimately be concerned with whether Mike Duffy has been, whether the Crown's established beyond a reasonable doubt that Mike Duffy has committed various criminal offenses. We are very fortunate as an electorate to have the benefit of the evidence which has come out as part of that trial. But for the trial, we would not have the benefit of being able to review these hundreds of pages of email correspondence that paint this picture as to what was actually going on in the Prime Minister's office.
So you think we've got enough intel right now as voters?
I think we do. I think if you take the time to look at that email or read the summaries of the evidence, you'll be able to form your own judgments about what was going on there.
And to Ken's point, I mean, is this on the scale of Watergate?
Well, that'll be for the electorate, I suppose, to decide. But I think he's certainly right. It's not the Mike Duffy's house and the 90,000 that matter. It's the cover-up efforts and the what's allegedly lying about it after that may kill them.
Let's bring Michael in. Hi, Michael. You're on CFAX.
Hi. At the conclusion of the trial and obviously the appeals, what do you estimate that the cost for the legal fees is going to be for either the defense or the prosecution?
That's a good question. It's going to be hard to ascertain exactly. Of course, from the defense point of view, the lawyer for Mike Duffy is going to be bound by solicitor-client privilege. He's not going to be revealing that. There was a suggestion, though, sort of analyzing the his background. He's apparently a wealthy man with other interests, the lawyer is, that he's not likely to be charging full freight, if anything, for his work. Now, that was speculation, but he may be doing it pro bono or at a reduced rate. What it winds up costing the Crown to do the prosecution will have two elements. One would be the cost of conducting the investigation that would be borne by the RCMP. And the other element of it would be things like the cost of Crown counsel and the judge and this sort of thing.
Canadian taxpayer money.
Yes, although I would say it's sort of like the $90,000. Ultimately, the money isn't big in the context of the importance of the issues at play. Whatever we pay as members of the public to prosecute that trial is probably money well spent to the extent that we've got the insight we have into how that that office was conducting itself.
Can Canadians sue to get our money back?
I don't know if they'd sue successfully, but I think we may be getting good value, at least as I see it.
Hi, Greg. You're on CFAX. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Pamela. I'm a long-term bureaucrat that's been seconded to several premiers' offices for various issues. And this is a classic case, as Ken said, not to the magnitude, but to the principle of Watergate. And that's where you have a lot of political hacks who don't understand the workings of government getting involved, like this 29-year-old issue management guy who probably came out of university and went directly into the Conservative Party with no bureaucratic experience at all and understanding about how you manage an issue like this properly. Is a very smart man, but he's not versed in how to deal with issues up front like this and get them swept away transparently rather than trying to cover up. So the fundamentals is this is just another lesson in getting professional people in government into a leading office like the Prime Minister's or Premier's offices to make sure that this kind of stuff does not happen. Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you, Greg. Michael, final thought from you here.
Excellent points. And what is shockingly absent from these hundreds of pages of correspondence, seeing Nigel Wright and others trying to come up with some way to make this go away and cover it up, no one along the way in any of that correspondence says, look, this is just wrong. We shouldn't be misleading the public. It's not about coming up with media lines or how we can sweep this away. No one says, just tell the truth and come clean.
That'd
no one.
Sure be a handy email to have right now. Well, we're not going to let this one go away. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the calls and emails. You want to tune in next week, of course, because we're going to keep this going here on Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Pamela McCall.